Well, you get a phone call from the doctor's office, and the nurse says the doctor's noticed something in your blood work, and he wants to talk to you. And so you got to set up an appointment, and of course, they can't tell you anything over the phone about what's in the test results. And it's Monday, and the first appointment they can get is Friday. So you know now all you have to do is wait, and that's when fear sets in. You barely sleep all week. Your mind goes through every scenario, and the fear seems to do nothing but grow in the days as they wear on. So what I'd like to do is invite you to just take a minute and turn to a person near you and share with them something that has made you fearful recently. Okay, so just talk to the person next to you, something that has made you fearful recently. Well, that's a picture of my mom and my dad up there from a number of years ago. My dad died of leukemia almost 20 years ago. Rochelle's mom and dad, that picture's taken more than 20 years ago. Almost 30 years ago, I think. Rochelle's mom and dad both died of cancer. We know that sickness can turn bad. So several months ago, when Rochelle had to go for some blood tests and then an ultrasound, and then after that, a CAT scan, because as they were ruling out things in the blood and in the ultrasound, and they had fewer and fewer minor things that could be causing what they were seeing. And so we know the fear that can creep up while you wrestle with the unknown. I'm happy to say that Rochelle is healthy, so. But that fear, nonetheless, it's a fear that runs deeply. It's a fear that we don't really even like to talk about. And it's a fear that if we're honest, we can pinpoint. If we're truly honest with ourselves, the fear that we're dealing with is ultimately the fear of death. Now, if you don't think you're afraid of death, let's just check. I want to do a little survey by show of hands. And unlike normal, I really want you to raise your hand. So put down anything that is encumbering your hand so you can actually lift your hand, okay? I'm just warning you. All right. So here's the question. Raise your hand if you want to go to heaven when you die. All right. Those are all the working hands. Now, raise your hand if you want to go today. All right. So We make light of it, but it's a very real fear. And so in the sermon, in Luther's sermon for the fifth Sunday of Lent, in 1533, Martin Luther said in his sermon, "Even though death consume us, we yet shall not feel its sharp fangs, for Christ's word is our armor that supplies us with a confident life and a quiet, peaceful death and eternal life." That's what we long for. We want to know and trust what Christ has demonstrated to us about death. Christ has shown us death has no hold on us, and what he's taught us about the life that followed. That's what we're going to celebrate on Easter. And yet, we're surrounded by so much that makes us doubt. No one we know, likely, has come back from the dead to tell us about what's on the other side. And we cast doubts and dispersions on those who've had near-death experiences or supernatural encounters or theophanies. So much as we want to believe in the hereafter, we're kind of stuck in the here and now. And the here and now is full of so many opportunities for fear and worry. Terrorism and mass shootings in our country, have heightened our fears. We don't really even know anymore where we can be completely safe. For a while there, we felt like if we could keep the airport safe, we'd be safe. But since then, we've seen terror strike in schools and office parties and nightclubs and parades and movie theaters and shopping centers. It makes you want to walk around with some kind of body armor on, doesn't it? But even if you could, there is no armor that can protect us from illness or disease on the inside. As St. Paul said, the wages of sin is death. And we know it all too well because we see it all around us. Death from without and within. It makes me think of a song from my friend Kip Fox. And I'll put it on the screen here. This is just the refrain and just a few seconds of this song. Oops, I think I got it here.
Death is all around us. We are not afraid. Written is the story. Empty is the grave.
He's saying death is all around us. We're not afraid. Written is the story.
Empty is the grave.
Empty is the grave.
Death is all around.
The song is called This Dust. And if you'd like me to send you a link for that, just write the words dust or this dust in the comment section of your connection card, and I'll send you a link to that whole song this week. It reminds me of what we did here just on Ash Wednesday. We make a mark on our forehead to remind us that we are dust. We're made from dust, and to dust we shall return. These bodies are so limited in what we can do. And despite all the advances in science and medicine, we can only, at best, maintain and protect them so long, even if we had body armor. But truly, there's something more important to protect than our body, because there is something that outlasts our body on earth. What we need to protect is our soul and our spirit. And Jesus gives us an idea of this priority of protecting our soul over our body when he says, quite simply, do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. He says that in Matthew 10. In fact, we don't really need body armor. What we need is spiritual armor, which, as it happens, God gives us specifically in Ephesians 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can stand against the devil's schemes. He's the one who wants to steal your soul. God gives us an invisible armor that protects us from something far worse than physical death. The spiritual armor of God defends us against eternal death. With this spiritual armor on, then we can take our stand against the devil's schemes so that we may be able to stand our ground when that day of evil comes. Stand secure. That's what we mean when we talk about standing unafraid, when we stand at the cross. Our confidence and our hope, it's not built on our own ability to ward off evil, to stand against wickedness, terror, disease, temptation. Think of all the things we have to stand against. God's not saying, try really hard to withstand all this stuff. No, he's giving us an armor that we put our hope and our confidence in the eternal power of God. He's our hope. He's our confidence in the day of trouble. That's what allows us to stand even in the face of danger. Had a little similar experience just 2 weeks ago, I think that's what it was, when we were in Phoenix. I don't know, time is a blur. I'm not even sure February happened. We seemed like we were gone so much. But we were at this best practices conference. Yes, that's me. We were at this best practices conference in Phoenix, and if you read about it in the newsletter, it is just a wonderful conference of tons of learning, tons of sharing, tons of fellowship. And the amazing thing is that this church in Phoenix makes it free for more than 2,000 people. All the entertainment, all the food, all the conference speakers, all the registration, all the shuttles, all free, including this little entertainment thing that they had there, this trust jump or whatever. It doesn't look like much there, but it's higher than a two-story building. And you go and you just stand at the end of this platform and you jump. Sounds like fun, huh? And I almost wasn't going to do it. And then I said, nah, there's too many great sermon illustrations in this. I have to do it. Well, you know, the two stories is really actually not that high. And there's a cushion, a big old cushion there for you. And you can see several people are jumping and surviving. So you're pretty sure you're going to live. Now, I've jumped from much higher heights, much higher heights on a zip line. You know, but then you're kind of strapped in and tied on, and I don't mean tied on. I mean, you know, you're hooked. But you kind of, it's a little different when you're standing right at the end with nothing holding you at all, and you just jump. It's a very, very, very weird feeling. I imagine that this is what Joshua may have felt like in our Old Testament reading today. See, this is what God does for his people. He says, do not be afraid. I will protect you, even when you're facing the most dangerous and most fearful jump. Joshua and the people of Israel in the Old Testament, they were standing at the edge of the promised land on the one side of the Jordan. They were ready to go in. They had just lost their faithful leader, Moses, who led them out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, through all those years in the wilderness. And now facing them are these great enemies in fortified cities. And they were just a wandering band of people with only the weapons and supplies they could carry with them all those years. How could they possibly do this? We know that that's what they must have thought, because 40 years earlier, they had the chance to go in. They were given the opportunity to go in the promised land, and they shrank back. They said, we went and we spied it out, and we look like grasshoppers in their eyes, which is another way of saying, we're going to die. So God made them wander. Now here they are again. Joshua's fear must have been great on the edge of that precipice. But the word of God came to him, wrapped him in armor, and said, have I not commanded you? It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Well, how did it go for Joshua and his people, God's people? They were successful in taking the land on the west side of the Canaan. More than 30 cities. Turns out that with the protection of God, Joshua really didn't need to be afraid in those battles. Well, really, anywhere he went. And that same word of God that came to Joshua came to the apostle Paul in Corinth. This was our second reading today. After the Jews were persecuting him, one night the Lord spoke to Paul in a vision and said, do not be afraid. Keep on speaking. Do not be silent, for I am with you. No one is going to attack you or harm you. And that same word of God that spoke to Joshua and spoke to Paul took on flesh in the person of Jesus, who spoke the very word of God to us with his own mouth, professed, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Be not afraid. It bears noting that when Jesus said this, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age, this was after he'd been crucified, after they thought it couldn't get any worse, after he rose from the grave. See, that armor of God that we're told to put on, this isn't just some metaphorical representation of things that might be able to help you when you're in a battle. But it is a recognition that you and I are in a spiritual battle. We are spiritual beings in a spiritual battle, one that cannot be fought with fists and guns or even bombs and intercontinental missiles. It's a battle that's fought on a spiritual level. And for that, you have been given a very real spiritual protection of God. And the armor of God has protected God's people that have gone before us. It protected Joshua. It protected Paul. And it protects you. That's how you can stand unafraid in the face of spiritual attacks. And make no mistake, those things that you're fearing, whatever you talked about in the beginning or whatever you were too afraid of to share or was too personal, whatever that is, it's a spiritual attack, even if it's based on real events and real people in the physical world. Because the outcome that you're ultimately fearing is a spiritual one. But in order for God to take away your fear, you must call on him. Just like Paul did in our second reading. Paul was in prison for his faith, as he wrote to young Timothy. He didn't know how long he had left here on this earth. The word of God came to him, wrapped him in his armor, and said, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever." It reminded him that the Lord had rescued him from all evil and would continue to do that and bring him safely into heaven. And it reminds you and me that even though we don't see with our eyes, we believe with our heart. We walk by faith, the Bible says, not by sight. And so in the face of any fear, whether it's earthly or spiritual, we are protected. And so, are you traveling and you're worried about that? The Lord is with you. Are you getting ready to walk down the aisle? I know we've got some brides-to-be around. The Lord is with you. Are you going into surgery? I'm not comparing a wedding to surgery or anything like that. I'm not saying. It's just a list. The Lord is with you. Going to a funeral? The Lord is with you. Are you facing your own mortality? Be strong and courageous. The Lord is with you. Do you feel the strong temptation to return to a sin that you thought you had abandoned? The Lord will rescue you. Do you feel alone and abandoned by people you thought loved you? The Lord will rescue you. Do you feel shaky in your biblical knowledge as you attempt to defend your faith against some very hard questions? The Lord will rescue you. Do you feel the fear of death creeping in on you? The Lord will rescue you and bring you safely into his eternal kingdom. What is there to be afraid? This is the hope and the privilege that I have to share at every funeral I conduct, that the eternal God became flesh and dwelt among us. We know this because from his own mouth he spoke what we heard in our gospel reading today. Before Abraham was, I am. But why flesh? Why did he take on flesh? He took on flesh so that he could go to the cross and face death, just like we do. Just like we face death. But he went to the cross to face our death for us, to go to our grave for us. Do you realize that that cross is why you do not need to fear death? Because Christ died for you, so you will not die. Your flesh may fail, but you will not die. Your spirit lives on and never dies. C.S. Lewis said, "I never met a mere mortal. We are all eternal beings." Jesus said it this way, "Very truly, I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death." This is why Jesus refers to earthly death as but a sleep. It is not the end it appears to be. But you and I, we wouldn't have this blessed perspective on life and death. We wouldn't have this confidence in the face of fear if it were not for God's word revealing it to us. We would be lost to grasp at earthly solutions to what looks like an earthly problem. We wouldn't have it, but that's why you and I do have it, and so we need to keep the word of God in front of our eyes, in our ears, and in our hearts, so that we won't be afraid whatever the doctor says. Whatever danger the news hypes, Jesus has defeated the power of death and promises you resurrection and new life. I just want to close with a story of a young man that I was privileged to know and lay to rest. His name was Jose. He was a 10-year-old foster child in one of the families at the last church I served. And I've told his story in different contexts, and I may tell it at length sometime, but suffice it to say that Jose battled leukemia for several months and then passed away from the disease at 10 years old. However, during that time, his faith grew, and his faith became so strong. If his mom, or really anyone, would cry around him, he would get mad, and he'd put his head under the blanket because he didn't want to hear you cry, and he'd say, "Don't cry. Jesus says it's going to be okay. Don't cry." Friends, Jose knew who he belonged to. He knew whose he was, and he knew where he was going. Friends, so do you and I. That's living faith and facing death unafraid. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you that you promised to be with us always, to the very end of the age. Thank you that you defeated death and the power of the enemy, and in so doing guaranteed us eternal life. Help us to put on that full armor of God, such that we are able to stand in the face of fear and to take our stand against the devil's schemes. And Lord, remind us that the only way we can do this is to stand at the cross, united to Jesus by our faith and our baptism. May we always put our hope and trust not in earthly power or might, but completely and squarely on Christ, the solid rock. On him and in him we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.